Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go, hook him up!
Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Mr. Laredo. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing pretty good. I don't see our other co-host on the line, so he was kind of iffy for the show tonight, so he might be joining us later. I'm not too sure, but I guess the full reunion of Over the Top Radio might have to wait another week. So, Craig, we do have a caller on the line. Let me take him. Caller calling from area code 702. Who is this?
Hi, Ed. This is Marco from Las Vegas. Same one you met.
Hey, what's going on, Marcus? How you doing?
Oh, I was trying to call in. I guess I called in a little too early. I was going to ask Antonio Thomas a question.
Oh, why don't you call back in about 15 or 20 minutes? Because I don't even have him on the line yet, bro. And that way you can get your question in and stuff.
All right, no problem.
All right, man, cool. I'll talk to you in a bit here.
All right.
So, Craig, have you enjoyed your vacation?
I have not enjoyed my vacation, absolutely.
Well, we have our other co-hosts on the line here, so let me get them on the line. Contreras, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all?
Pretty good.
Well.
How did you enjoy your vacation from the show for about a month or so?
It's okay.
It's okay.
I haven't done much. Had a couple of kids. One of them wasn't mine. I took him back. So, you know.
Was he black?
Wrong color?
No.
Cool.
He made a little brown.
A little brown? Well, that's pretty typical here in Texas.
Yeah.
I've been actually going to a movie every Friday night since I had the time off. So, seen Despicable Me, I've seen The Lone Ranger, and I've seen Pacific Rim.
That was Pacific Rim. I heard it was a bomb.
It's pretty fun, actually.
I heard it was an okay movie. It just bombed at the theaters.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's a fun
movie. It's okay.
What I'm hoping for is because I'm, you know me, I'm going to see it online. I'm just hoping whoever freaking made the copy of it and posted online went to the non-3D version of the movie, because I hate these fucking idiots who go to the fucking 3D versions and record it and then put it online. And it's like, how the fuck are you supposed to watch that shit?
Well, you know, considering it's a pirated copy, you get what you know, you don't have much of a choice.
You get what you pay for, I guess.
I guess you should get what you don't pay for.
Yeah. I told Antonio that I'd call him right about now, so let me get him on the line, and you guys can talk about more movies or whatever while I'm gone.
Actually, I'm going to watch I got my two nephews and my niece here, and in a little bit we're going to watch G.I. Joe Retaliation on Xbox. Mm. So.
That's the new one or the first one?
That's the second one, The Rock.
Okay, so it's only slightly better than the shitty first one.
I don't know.
Oh, good to know.
Well, I'm
calling. He doesn't have to watch it.
It's just a stupid action movie.
I got you. What'd you think of Impact last night?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's worth a view. It was a fun show.
I was kind of surprised that they changed the title last night.
Yeah, they kind of did the same thing last year with Austin Aries.
I don't think this one will be for long, though.
Oh, I would imagine he loses it on the next set of tapings. Just a guess.
Which I actually wouldn't have changed it because I thought he was on a good run as the champion. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they go from here.
But whenever he lost the title, I thought maybe his deal came up and somebody forgot to re-sign him or something.
Well, they're probably going to fire him today.
Well, they have the talent relations guy. They're firing everybody.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a sinking ship or if they're just getting rid of some rats. I don't know.
I think they're going on the roads hurt them too much.
Yeah, it's sad because a few guys that work there and some guys that are thriving there. And
hey, Craig.
Yes, sir.
Craig, can you introduce our guest, please?
I would love to. In the mid-2000s, the Heartbreakers made their debut in Ohio Valley Wrestling, and I could not wait to see the hijinks that would ensue each week on OVW-TV. Antonio the Promise Thomas is one half of the tag team here, and he's here tonight to talk about his career, pro wrestling news, and maybe even tell us what it takes to have sock appeal. Welcome to the show, Antonio Thomas.
What's up, guys?
How's it going, Antonio?
Going good. No, I don't want to talk about my career. I'm overexposed this week, so let's talk about anything but wrestling.
Anything but?
Well, we were hoping to review the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, so...
I know. Whatever. Well, you guys lead the way, man.
Let's talk about Brazilian women for a while.
Yeah, let's do that.
They're pretty hot.
Very hot.
And they get a little out of control at the UFC shows. I've been flashed by a really big-breasted Brazilian woman before, and it's awesome to get out of control after the UFC shows, too. Yeah. But we'll go ahead and start with the Money in the Bank so we can get Couture on for a little bit since he might not be on the whole show. Craig, you want to run down the matches and we'll all just give our opinions of it?
True thing. It actually started with the pre-show. It had Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins versus the Usos for the tag team titles, and I really, really enjoyed this match. It had the finish saw Roman Reigns hitting a spear after he tagged in from behind and beat Jimmy. Great match.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
I didn't know if it was on the pay-per-view channel, then I probably would have watched it, but I didn't know it was on the pay-per-view channel as well. So.
Yeah, I actually watched it on WWE.com. This was a really good, probably 11-minute match, back and forth, lots of high spots, and reminded me of a... It reminded me of an old school ROH match, even with the fans leaning over the barricade and patting the padded barricade as a big spot would incur.
Oh, the barricade slappers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So what did you think of it?
I did not see it. I did not see it. So.
Okay.
I think what they did is they did that because a lot of people, you know, usually skip the matches because they know it's just going to be like 1 or 2 minutes. And, you know, considering that only one of the four of us saw it, I'm not sure how much of it worked for them doing that with the Shield. But the people they're just not programmed to watch that show, you know. So maybe it made a difference. Well, I don't know. But I guess we can go ahead and
move
on. How
much they push that app down your throats, you know, we probably all should have been able to watch it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely would go out of my way to track down this match. It's really good. It was one of the better matches on the show, actually. So just a simple word of advice from myself. First thing on the pay-per-view was the world title Money in the Bank match. We had Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro all in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
You know, I really wasn't expecting much. Yeah, I wasn't really expecting much from it because it's hard to get excited for an all-heel matchup. But that said, I thought the match was awesome. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought Cody did a great job being babyface kind of in the match. I thought Fandango was I really liked the spot where it looked like he had a chance to win. And I just thought it was great. And John Moxley was just tremendous. I mean, he channeled Terry Funk during the match with the wacky shit he was doing with the ladder.
Yeah, with the ladder windmill or something like that.
Yeah.
Terry Funk to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like the spot where he skinned the cat, even though most people thought it was stupid.
No, that's awesome.
It looked cool, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this match. Oh, go ahead.
No, brother. Go ahead.
I didn't know what if we were going in order or whatnot. Or,
every man for himself.
You have to forgive my co-hosts. They're very rude and interrupt our guests all the time. But just speak up whatever you want to, my friend.
Right. No, I enjoyed the match. It was crisp. It was clean. Usually you get a lot of, car crash spots that don't turn out too well in some ladder matches. But I thought the ending was perfect with Cody really getting a big babyface reaction and kind of having like a little comeback there at the end that really got the crowd into it and escalated. And Sandow was out of sight, out of mind, took the rug out from under him. Great heel heat by doing that. And it was a great finish. I enjoy it. It was perfect, very cool spots. Throughout the match, but a perfect finish. That's the most important part of the match. So, very enjoyable.
They had that one shot where Sandow was like crawling like almost under the announce table and you didn't see him again for 10 minutes. It kind of told me he was he was coming in at the end there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This brought up a discussion in my living room with myself and Vince and Brian. At the end there, Cody was bleeding from the eyebrow. And, of course, we started talking about them cleaning up wrestlers with the accidental blood, which on this show there was at least three or four.
Yeah.
And I think it really takes something out of the match. I know that there was, a lot of hardway blood, and you can argue if Punk's was actually hardway or not. I mean, if you intend on getting hit in the face and you get cut, is that really hard way? But we had a discussion about, how much the blood adds more to what they're doing. And I know they're PG-13 right now or PG right now. And I brought in the discussion of wouldn't the Wyatt's debut have meant so much more if they would have bloodied up Kane and left him in a pool of blood at the end of that?
Well, you're wearing a mask. It's kind of hard to see.
I think the blood aspect on the face, it really took away. It wasn't so much with the blood being there, but they couldn't get a facial. I mean, facials are 90% of it on TV, and they couldn't get that facial between they got Sandow, but they couldn't get Cody up close to see his frustration right after the match. Same thing with Punk. You didn't have that connection of the heat and what they were feeling at that time. And, that's 90% of TV is you make your living on TV with your face. And that took were they really bleeding that? I know it's a rule, but,
right.
It definitely took away from it. It took away from that, the intensity of the moment.
Yeah, it's a good thing that for the most part the blood usually came at the end of the match because Cody was it was really towards the end of the match and the same thing with Punk and so they didn't, especially considering back when they used to like stop the match and have, like, the doctor go in and stop the bleeding. I remember a pay-per-view here in San Antonio where that happened, and they had to stop the match for, like, well over 5 minutes. So, luckily, they didn't have to do anything like that. And I thought, I mean, you're totally right. It could have been more effective, but I thought just seeing the little blood, considering you don't see any blood, was actually a little effective. I mean, like, when I saw Cody bleeding at the end, I was like, oh, wow, you know, so... It didn't
right.
have the effect like you said, but it did have, I think, you know, just the fact that there was blood on this pay-per-view and not just like a trickle, it was like multiple guys who got busted open pretty good.
Yeah. And to be fair, Punk was bleeding pretty bad. I mean, even after they cleaned him up and they focused in on his face, a stream of blood started pouring down his face. I mean, Van Damme had 14 staples put in just in his scalp line. And that was pretty nasty, but you know, I'm a grown man. I can see a little blood every now and then, and I want it back. It adds more to the drama of this male soap opera that I've been watching all my life.
Well, especially on pay per view, where you pay $60 for it. I think you know, it's not on it's not on in prime time where kids are probably watching, and you know, if it's pay-per-view, you know, you're not gonna have swearing or anything, but I agree, a little blood on pay-per-view isn't gonna hurt.
I remember during one of those Triple H and I think Brock Lesnar brawls where he busted him open in the back of the head or something hard way. I thought that added like so much to one of their brawls that they had like before WrestleMania or something like that.
See one of them doctors try to close up a wound on the back of Lesnar and see what happens.
There'd
be three people bleeding in the ring.
Probably scared to go near him.
Right. Next up, we had Curtis Axel versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. I was praising Curtis Axel. I really enjoy this guy's work, and I really dislike The Miz, and I'll leave it at that.
I thought the match was good. Like Curtis Axel, he's more than decent. He's good in the ring. I mean, he's really good at doing his dad spots, like when he kicked his leg underneath him, and he kind of did like the flip bump kind of. And he's really good. Miz is all right. I don't hate The Miz as much as other people, but you know, the match was just really. Above average. I mean, it wasn't that great, but then it's not there to be great. I mean, it's basically just to be mid-card filler and not really do anything too spectacular. But, you know, I think Axel's great in the ring. I just don't think he has the charisma yet, or he hasn't figured it out yet as far as that part of his game.
I enjoyed
that. I think kind of overshadowed with all the other stuff going on with Paul Heyman, too, with Brock and Punk. So...
I thought it was a good match. I just thought the fans, I found myself finding it hard to really get invested in it. And I think the fans obviously were, they could care less about The Miz. They really could care less about the match, especially when Heyman gets ejected and, you know,
There was no way they would, after they threw out Heyman, it's like, there's no way they could do anything, but basically, I don't want to say crap on the match because that's kind of extreme, but it was never going to get over after Heyman was thrown out in Philadelphia. It's just, you know, that just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. It was funny spot in the match, actually, where Miz faked getting punched by Paul Heyman, and so they ejected Heyman. Axel retained the title with a neck breaker into a faceplant, which has got to be the third or fourth finisher that they've given him in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, and it really should be the perfect flex. I mean, just go for it.
Absolutely.
I mean, the fans will pop for it. The fans will pop for it if he does it, you know. Especially if he starts beating people with it. I mean, I just don't know why they it's like they want him to be his dad a little bit, but then they don't go all the way with it. It's like, you know.
I think the first time he used it, didn't somebody, I think it was John Cena kicked out of it the very first time he used it.
Yeah.
Kind of hurt him.
That's how you kill a finish.
We'll give it to John Cena. Just kick out.
Either way. Next up was AJ Lee versus Caitlin for the Divas title.
And I don't know why Brian was hating on this match so much. It was actually pretty. I mean, it wasn't as good as the one from last week, but AJ is like the greatest bumper in the WWE right now. I think she's even better than Dolph, or and that's saying a lot because Dolph's awesome at taking bumps, but she's awesome. And Caitlin can throw an awesome spear. I mean, it's almost like Edge spearing somebody when she does it. And it doesn't match up to the Taryn and Gail matches, but I thought it wasn't worth all the hate that Brian gave it.
I will keep my mouth
shut. I'm sure you were doing the same thing because you always agree with your little buddy Brian.
How dare you?
I'll go to a real wrestling expert, Antonia. Antonia, what did you think of the Divas match?
I thought it was fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Once again, it was just getting emotionally invested in it. I think myself, a lot of people watching in the crowd were waiting for, the stuff at the end of the show. We're waiting to cheer Mark Henry. We're waiting for the main event. You know, so AJ was in it, so that's a plus. Very flexible. So,
yeah, she's great. She's good on. Some people don't like her crazy gimmick character, but I think she's great on the mic. She's just great at taking bumps. I mean, she looks like she's literally killed on some of these moves that Caitlin throws on her. I mean, she's like the female version of Dolph, basically. But Contreras, any opinion? Or are you going to be an asshole like Craig?
How dare you?
I was fine with the match. This is actually like the first Divas angle and. What seems like years I've really been into. That's really, I've had a lot of interest in. But, yeah, AJ Lee, she's a great heel. I want to see her get her ass whipped. I mean,
oh, yeah.
God.
I'll do it.
And I'm just waiting for, like, Layla to turn on Caitlin. You know that's coming.
I know
there's no other reason why she's out there.
I really wish the storyline would progress a little bit faster because, I think it will. I didn't see SmackDown yet, so maybe it has on there. But I agree. AJ is a great wrestler. She's a great bumper. Caitlin is, she's chesty, and I'll leave it at that.
I give her effort because she tries, but, she needs years of work to go. I mean,
Why does she wear weightlifting gloves?
AJ's about
to lift a lot of weight.
Like a match I saw with Ted Arcidi versus Tony Atlas. They both had weightlifting belts on. Like, please explain that
right.
to me. But anyway,
how was that match?
How was that match?
Yeah.
It was incredibly awesome for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
YouTube it. It's they brawl into the crowd and they take out a kid with a row of chairs. It's from the Boston Garden. So it's pretty damn amazing. It's right up there with Andre falling asleep in a front face lock by Big John Studd. So
gimmicks. Okay, next up we had Ryback versus Chris Jericho. Surprise finish here. Ryback won with a move.
But why is it a surprise? Because Jericho never wins. I mean, it's like a job.
I just pressed how he won. He just kind of pulled him up.
Yeah, that
was a surprise. I was like, I actually almost marked out for it. I mean, it was such a surprise. Because I was waiting for him to kick out, you know what I mean? And then he didn't. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
But
kick out, shell shock, in the middle of the ring.
That was probably Ryback's best match in the WWE. I mean, that's one thing about Jericho. He can get good matches out of guys, you know what I mean?
True.
And,
true.
You know, he had one of Hulk Hogan's last best matches, you know, on SmackDown one time. I mean, he's just so great. And I'm actually excited because in a couple months, I get to see Saxon with Fozzy opening up for them here in San Antonio, so that's going to be freaking the shit.
That same tour is coming to my town later on in the year, so we'll see what happens.
It may be coming to my town, but I'm not going to it.
So, I think it's on a school night, though.
What do you think of the night, Antonio?
I would have preferred that Ryback beat him with an O'Connor roll or a Mahi Straw cradle. But, the highlight of the match was Ryback's splash off the second rope.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was, but he got up to the second rope, and he just decided, like, wow, this is really fucking high, and I'm just going to fall. That was like, that was amazing. It was like Ted Arce. It was like, it was from the Ted Arce Tony Atlas match.
Now, why do I want to see vignettes? I want to see vignettes of Chris Jericho and Ryback planning their match while watching Ted Arce work a match.
I want to know who thought it was a good idea to do that splash. I really do. I have nothing, you know, the match was good. It went well. They put in time.
Right.
You know, I thought it was fine, but I just want to know who thought it was a good idea to do that splash.
I
have all
somehow
the things you can incorporate.
With Jericho, I somehow, I want to believe that Jericho was talking to him, like, all right, good man, we need to get you some kind of big high spot. Let's go to second rope. You can go to second rope. And, you know, Ryback just rattles his head, and it sounds like you're, you know, shaking a can of spray paint. And,
Maybe. So. Maybe. I don't know.
Moving right along, next up we have Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler for the world title. Really enjoyed this match. Thought it was a great match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they work really good together. I mean, they wrestle a little too much sometimes. I mean, it's almost like they wrestle almost every show, but I mean, they're really good. And Dolph, I mean, it's really awesome watching him. When he does some of his stuff, but then after he does it, it's like, why did you do that? Like that the backdrop over to the outside. I mean, that's one of the scariest things I've seen. I mean, I was like, oh my god, he's on the way down. It's like, wow, why? It's just like, man.
I enjoyed this a lot. They wrestle all the time, but this one was. It was intense. It was tight. It was crisp. I thought the ending was really good too. When it didn't, it wasn't like the last year where it was just Dolph losing for just to lose. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed their one on Monday night as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The finish saw AJ
still keep Ziggler strong. So.
Yes. Actually, the finish saw AJ actually coming into the ring and Dolph ejecting her and Dolph missing Lord knows what he was going for here, because we rewound it twice to figure out what kind of move he was trying to take on Dolph. But
yes,
Ziggler,
why did
he
went for the he took his yes, you brought up a good thing. I was wondering that.
Yeah.
He pulled his knee pad down, and then he's going to go for a super kick. Because, it was like, what?
Maybe he can collect his leg,
yeah,
more. Leg more with the knee pad down or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Well, like he's going for a shining wizard, but it's, you know.
Right. So, despite that, Dolph was disqualified because of AJ's interference, and, of course, that led to them breaking up in an unglorious fashion on Monday Night Raw.
You know, some people did. A lot of people like complained about this finish, but I mean, it wasn't like your typical, you know, like, okay, we got to stretch this out another month, so I'm just going to rear back and kick the guy in the balls finish to get a disqualification or something like that. It was, I mean, I wouldn't have been any more satisfied if she interfered and he got pinned, so it wouldn't be good for me. So.
Yeah, it served its purpose for a change, you know what I mean? It actually meant something to the man, so I didn't mind it at all.
Plus, he's getting
pinned
the next
thing.
Night anyway, so he shouldn't be getting pinned two nights in a row.
Yeah, and at least they followed through with the storyline. You know, back in the day, there's a good 50% chance that they just would have been broken up and no explanation, no cause, no anything. So, you know, it's, as far as the writing, you know, that part's kind of gotten better lately. And the breakup on Raw was awesome, and Big E just was awesome with that clothesline. I mean, he really helped make that angle. I mean, Raw Monday was one of the best Raws I've seen in a long time.
Truth. Hopefully the Reddit guy didn't spoil any of these storylines.
Speaking of the Reddit guy, Antonio, do you bet money on the WWE pay-per-views? Are you raking it in?
I do not. No.
Okay. Well, at least that won't keep you out of the Hall of Fame for betting on your own sports.
I'm already in the Hall of Fame. You haven't seen the video, have you?
Which one?
It was Antonino Rocco.
Oh.
Yes, you mean, yes. Yes. I'm wearing my yellow jacket, my yellow Hall of Fame jacket.
Nice.
Does anyone
next
get
up,
that?
Yeah, John,
Gray gets it.
I understand the Hall of Fame jacket, yes. All right. Next up, we had John Cena versus Mark Henry for the world title. Henry was over like mad in Philadelphia as well as in my family room. And unfortunately, in this household, John Cena kept the world title.
Yeah, it was a great match. I'm probably the best match that these two guys could have had. I mean, they're both very good workers. Great workers. And the crowd was super into it. The crowd loved Mark Henry. And yeah, where I was watching it, we were all rooting for Mark Henry as well. But man, it was awesome. I mean, Cena, who does he have a bad match with? You know, everyone wants to shit on him, but you know, what's this business about? It's about making money. And you know, I understand the complaints with him and whatnot. And you know, they're very fair, but you know,
yeah. I mean,
the guy's been the weight of the shoulders has been on his company for almost 10 years, and he keeps delivering. So, and fucking props to that guy. And that's, you know, I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Cena is like people shit on him because his stuff's not very tight. But the thing is, that's just like one of the smallest aspects to a match. I mean, it's everything. You know, there's so much more that, you know, makes a match great. And John Cena is just an awesome babyface and pearl. He makes great comebacks. He gets the fans into the match, whether they're booing or cheering him. And it's always a lot closer than people give. They always say, oh, it's always all against John Cena. It's not. I mean, there are times when the girls and kids are even louder. And, you know, I think like guys like Todd Martin or whatever that shit on him on some of Brian's shows, it's like you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, Cena is the reason they're making money. They're the only reason that they're relevant right now is because of John Cena.
Sure.
And you know, so you know, I get John, I'm Team Cena all the way. You know, I can't stand all these smart marks that just like shit on him for no reason just because he's not Dean Malenko in the ring. Well, you know what? John Cena's made a hell of a lot more money than Dean Malenko. You know, not to disrespect to Dean Malenko, but I mean, that's how you got to look at it.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I have no problem with Cena. I just really like Mark Henry. My seven-year-old, loves John Cena. My wife loves John Cena, probably for different reasons, but that's another story for another time. You know, he's good for business. He's the Hulk Hogan to my son that Hulk Hogan was to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like when, you know, people, you always hear online, people say, oh, they got to turn him heel, they got to turn him heel. Well, when you hear the reasons that they don't, it's kind of hard to argue with them.
Yeah, you know? I mean, as much as we love the Stone Cold heel turn for him being funny and awesome, I mean, it's the worst thing they ever did business-wise at the time.
Sure.
What's all the outside stuff he does, like the Make-A-Wish and charity stuff? I mean, you're going to turn him heel?
Mm-hmm. That'd be dumb.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be dumb.
Yeah, being someone on his his level, and by that I mean somebody higher than Randy Orton or even CM Punk. I mean, you really have to get somebody at his level to turn him heel, and there's no one who's close. I mean, Punk is over, but he's not that over as far as John Cena. It's like he'd have to have like, you know, The Rock has Stone Cold at The Rock. You know, right now Cena doesn't have that equal. You know what I mean? So it's like they have to keep him safe. So I don't blame him. I mean, I'm gonna enjoy the SummerSlam match. I mean, that's gonna be really awesome with him and Daniel Bryan. So, you know, all the props to Cena. And then Mark Henry, the greatest line ever. Yes, I tapped out, and he tapped all of you out too. He's so great at getting back at the fans when they try and fuck with him on interviews.
I just want to see Mark Henry trash talk the fans and trash talk his opponents. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. That's why we all love him.
Yeah.
He is tremendous. And one thing he can do that John Cena can't is take a corner. And I'll leave it at that.
Now, you didn't talk about, you skipped the Brad Maddox segment. You didn't want to talk about that? Or did y'all fall asleep during it?
Brad Maddox. Yeah, let's just move on.
I think every week on Raw, he needs to be on the phone with his mom, and she reminds him to bring something home.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, Mom, I'll get milk on the way home, or whatever he was supposed to get.
No matter what city he's in, his mom needs something from the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And if only they could bring back Shelton Benjamin's mama.
They killed her, didn't they? I can't remember.
I don't remember. All right. In the main event, we had the WWE title, Money in the Bank, with CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Christian, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Rob Van Dam. And unless you've been living under a rock for the last week, Randy Orton won this match, and I absolutely was in love with this match. I thought it was great.
It started off awesome with the spot with RVD when he does the RV, and then they kick his ass out of the ring. That was great. I mean, there was so much awesome stuff, like when Bryan went crazy right before it looked like he was going to win and got cheated out by Curtis Axel. Stuff with Heyman and Punk, that was great. Sheamus, I don't know, I think he thought it was a UFC fight and was trying to take people out. I mean,
that
he was
guy,
really stiff, but it looked good. And
it was real, that's why it looked good.
But the match was great. They did spots, but they didn't do anything crazy, just like the first one. It's like you don't really have to do all that really insane, dangerous stuff to get the match over. You just got to do a few spots. But, I love the pay-per-view. I thought it was great. The match was awesome. You know, it was thumbs up.
I think this was a match where they started the We Want Tables chant. I think Lawler said, well, what else do you people want? You got ladders? You know? Jeez.
Lawler was actually very tremendous on this show. When Dolph was dropping the elbows and Lawler said, hey, I think I told you what that was.
We're going to hear about him dying until the day, what the day he does.
Oh, Lord. The one really dumb spot of the match, and I don't blame Sheamus for this at all, but he was on the top rope and he ended up crashing through a ladder that was set up. I don't know who decided to gimmick this ladder by taking a hacksaw and cutting it in two and then basically double-sided tape sticking it together. So when Sheamus fell through this ladder, there wasn't just two sharp corners. There was four sharp corners for him to fall through. That was silly. And if you see the picture of his leg on Twitter, you'll see how that turned out for Mr. Sheamus. But all in all, a great pay-per-view and a great main event.
What did you think of the match, Antonio?
Everything you guys said. You know, six of the best workers in the business. Enough said there. Great storytelling at the end with Heyman and Punk and Yeah. Very enjoyable. Very enjoyable.
Company's been on a roll the last couple of months with these shows and some of the Raw. Mm-hmm. They're going into SummerSlam. It's looking like good stuff.
Absolutely. I did one little spot that I thought was great that they threw in there when all the carnage and people were dying on the outside of the ring, and then who should end up in the middle of the ring? CM Punk and Daniel Bryan looking across the ring from each other. And I could just hear the hardcores all across the world wetting themselves at the same time while these two were in the middle of the ring. And then I don't think they got but two or three punches in, and it was on. But just little things like that. It was a very well-booked match, and they all worked really hard. And it showed.
Yeah. We actually have a caller on the line who wants to ask Antonio a question, so I'm going to go to him right now. Marcus, what's your question for Antonio?
Well, what's going on, Antonio? I believe we met. I don't know if you remember me from the convention. We shared a cab on the way to the sweet party. So I'm going to bring back
any
memories.
What's up? How you doing?
Good, man. My question for you is, for somebody to spend time in developmental, like, what are your thoughts on guys getting caught up too soon?
Mm. Well, I was one of them. So I don't think it happens as much anymore. I mean, you're seeing guys in NXT, they're down there with their character that they eventually get called up with, for a year or longer. The Wyatt family is a perfect example. Even someone like Fandango, who was in developmental, 5 years or was with the company 5 years, before he debuted, he was doing that gimmick on house shows and dark matches for 6 months. So, when I got called up, I was in developmental for doing our gimmick for, 2 months, maybe 3 months. And it was always changing. So it's definitely different
real
now.
Quick, when you say 2 months, were you doing heartbreakers or hard throbs for those 2 months?
We're completely different in WWE. I mean, we're the heartbreakers in OVW, but we were baby faces. More goofy and crazy. And mm-hmm. when we got called up, they just changed our name, but we were heels, and they they didn't want any goofiness out of heels. They wanted, they wanted who we really were as wrestlers, but we just didn't know it at the time because they never said, hey, just be yourself. We thought they wanted the gimmick from OVW mixed in with, being heels. And we just weren't, 2 years in, we just weren't, you can't teach experience, you can't rush it, so we just weren't experienced enough to realize that. So that's the, big difference with guys today getting more time to really hone their gimmick and their persona that they get called up with.
I guess a follow-up question to that. It's been numerous times that they've called up guys, and it doesn't happen as much nowadays, but back even when, they called up Eminem, they were talking about leaving Joey Mercury there and talking about, they take your gimmick and then they'll put a different spin on it, or they'll turn a babyface heel or a heel babyface. What does that do to a guy's confidence who's coming into a new job, basically, and taking everything that they've been working on for years and then tweaking that?
Oh, my God. It completely changes how you think, because it's like being a minor league, it's like being a top minor league reliever, they getting called up to the major leagues and saying, hey, we want you to be a starter and go 6-7 innings, but now we want you to throw, you know, instead of throwing left-handed, we want you to throw right-handed. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, Joey was working 10 years. So, I mean, Joey was, you know, me and Romeo combined had about 4 years of experience. You know, Joey was working 10, so Joey really held the matches that we had in OVW, he held them together. I mean, and he held, you know, Morrison was so lucky to have him as well. They're lucky to have each other, but to have someone like Joey as a partner to you know, be the general, or, you know, kind of lead the matches and whatnot, was invaluable. You know, there, I mean, God, so many guys would get, you know, Matt Morgan with a stuttering gimmick. Eugene gets called up. The Bashams get called up after feuding with each other as a team. You know, Carlito wasn't even Carlito in developmental. He wasn't even doing TV. He was just there. And so he never, I mean, he honed it through doing dark matches and whatnot and house shows, which, you know, really is the best way to go is you know, we
sure.
never had house shows. Personally, we never did house shows. We got a call, and 3 days later, we're debuting in Madison Square Garden. It was never,
wow.
you know, let's do some house show loops, and let's get some feedback from the agents. Let's get some, you know, figure out where, you know, maybe do some vignettes or maybe put you guys on SmackDown because, you know,
mm-hmm.
we know you're green. But that, you know, that's part of being a professional. That's part of being, you know, under contract. You get to call at any time. So, you know, no, you can't, you know, now I'm 10, 11 years in, I'm a man. You know, I've been around the world. I've experienced all these things. Then I was 2 years in, 3 years in, maybe. So you can't teach that, you know, and that's why you see a CM Punk, a Bryan Danielson, Seth Rollins, you know, Ambrose. You see these guys that have been around, Cesaro. That's why they're performing the way they do. And that's why they are who they are. It's because they've put in their time. Like guys in the territories used to do. You got to WWF
mm-hmm.
when you're 35, 36, when you're a man, you know, after working territory for 10 years. And it's the way it should be, but, you know, hey, you know, I think they're doing a much, much better job now than, you know, in the previous 5 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus, before we let you go, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, one more. About TNA. What's the story behind doing the Heartbreakers versus the whatever they were called back then?
VKM.
VKM, yeah. What's the story behind all that?
That was just Christy Hemme was bringing in different tag teams. She ended up bringing in, like, the Bashams. I think someone else
mm-hmm.
before us. And we had done a match for TNA a few months earlier, and then Kerry Taylor called us and said, you want to be on pay-per-view? You know, we're like, yeah, sure. It's great. That's awesome. So it was, you know, it was just a one-shot thing. I feel bad for the fans that were expecting a mystery tag team. You know, I know when I was a kid and there's a mystery tag team advertised, I'm expecting like the Road Warriors or the Steiners or,
sure.
you know, but if I saw the Heartthrobs, I'd be like, you know, fuck.
The Mulkies.
It was fun, man. It was fun.
Well, thanks for answering my questions,
thanks.
Man.
Well, thanks for calling in, Marcus. Take it easy, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man. It was good meeting you, Marcus.
With that TNA stuff, that was back when VKM wanted to fight Triple H and Shawn at the Alamo or some shit like that.
Oh, genius.
Think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember they had a whole bunch of people show up for that. They just told the people the wrong date.
Right. They're actually there on a Tuesday or something.
Yeah. But the caller, he brought up the convention, and I met you that Thursday night at Samba's, and I have to apologize for to you. If I would have known, you would have had to sit next to Brian the whole night. I would have made sure that you got moved to a different table so you wouldn't have to put up with him. So I apologize.
Oh, come on,
for that.
Man. Hey, no Bay Area people, man. Brian's awesome, man. We had a good time, and we ate combined about 15 pounds of steak and chicken. So yeah, that was a good time.
Now, Ken, it seems like we get real lucky every year with different wrestlers who just pop in and happen to be there. Like last year, we had Evan and Chad Gaspard, and this year we had yourself, and then Nigel McGuinness just appeared out of the blue at the suite, and then Evan the next day. How did you? Basically, what made you want to come and hang out with a bunch of weirdo wrestling fans from the website?
Well, I was doing some shows in LA the weekend before, and I had, you know, I have the summers off from teaching, so yeah, I have family in Vegas, so I decided, hey, let's see if I can get my flight a week later out of Vegas, and they, you know, the promoter was more than generous and obliged, and was just planning to go out, you know, for a little vacation out to Vegas, because I'd only been there for wrestling. And, you know, I saw that the convention was out there, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'll stop by. And, you know, workers are the biggest fans there is. If we weren't, we wouldn't be in this business killing ourselves and our bodies. So, you know, just saw it as a fun time. And, you know, I'd heard about like last year's, and just sounded like a good time. So I was, it lined up. So I was like, let's do it.
I have a question about.
Oh, go ahead, Greg.
Okay, I have a question about a wrestler in Vegas. I've been in car rides with many a frugal wrestler. What kind of tricks did you pull to save a dime in Vegas?
I knew someone who knew someone that
right
got me comp UFC tickets,
nice.
Which saved me many dimes. I stayed at one of my cousin's house.
Good.
Let's see. Free gym membership for the week. You needed a Las Vegas ID to get the free membership, but I said I lost mine in a club the night before, so I showed them my passport. What else? I'm trying to. One of my cousins got me free comp buffet vouchers for some. Golden Corral-esque buffets. So it more than made up for the money I spent at the Brazilian barbecue.
Awesome.
I got a Senator Linda campaign banner from Steve Wan in exchange for a couple pictures. I did not get my granny t-shirt, my granny's gang shirt, which I am anxiously awaiting one day. And that was right there was one of the highlights of why I wanted to come. I wanted to come and meet Granny herself. You know, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, when you first made contact with me about going to the convention, the first thing you had committed to was the sweet party. So right after I talked to you, I pretty much told Rodney, I go, Rodney, we got to make sure we get Granny to the sweet party because Granny's always saying that she wasn't going to go this year. So, yeah, me and Rodney made it our mission. Like, and we kept telling her somebody wants to meet you, and she'd be like, who? And Rodney would be like, all I can tell you is he has a bunch of muscles. And
yeah, man, Rodney is a super cool dude. I saw him at the airport when I was leaving on Sunday. Man, he's cool. He was helping Granny around, and
He's just super cool, man. He's like a, I don't know, he's like a...
He's a like Southern gentleman.
Don Cheadle. He's like a Don Cheadle of wrestling, kind of. He's like slick like that, you know?
Like, speaking of, like, there's a big variety of people who go to these things, and I'm not saying this to be mean or knock anybody, but there's a lot of socially awkward people who come together for this trip, and we all get along, and it's like, you know, basically, I mean, I guess you knew who Brian was, but other than that, you really didn't know anyone there. I mean, how were you uncomfortable at first? Did you get along with everybody? I mean, how was just the experience of just coming to one of these things?
No, it was great. I mean, that's why I wanted to come. I wanted to, first of all, it had something to do with wrestling. It was a good time. It's Vegas. And, you know, I had done interviews with Brian before and on the site before. And I just wanted to meet and hang out. And look, trust me, wrestling fans are not the only socially awkward people. And there's a lot of socially awkward, successful people in any endeavor. And that's why they're successful, is because they, you know, they have social anxieties or whatever that they feel they got to overcome through, you know, whatever. So, no, I don't look at people as being like, oh, hey, these guys, people are awkward, or, you know, I wish there were people when I was in school that were into wrestling or admitted that they liked wrestling, because many people looked at me as a socially awkward kid that, you know, didn't want to play baseball, they just wanted to wrestle, that wanted to, you know, do combat sports and watch WWF. So, everyone there was super cool, and met some great people, and I definitely plan to come back next year.
Did you get to meet my friend Barb? Just kind of the short Hispanic girl. There was a point where you guys actually walked past each other on the balcony, and I was about to introduce you, but then I was thinking I probably should, because if she's drunk enough, she probably would have talked you out of your shirt and had you doing the heartbreak.
That would have been fine. I don't, you know, I'm not very ticky, so I don't remember. If you showed me a picture, I'd probably remember her. But I don't. I'm sorry. I usually, when I drink, my memory's good when I drink. I'm sorry. I can't picture her at the moment. Was not the redhead, right?
No, not the redhead. That was one thing that was amazing. There was so many more women this year than most years, and just in so many people. I mean, we must have had like 50 people in that suite. I mean, that was a
suite spelled SWEET party.
And then it was just a perfect size room for everything. And I don't know if you noticed how it was like you have your one Dave Meltzer talking wrestling area, and then you have everyone else just getting drunk out of their minds the rest of the year.
Yeah, I was looking forward to being in the Dave Meltzer area, and I was telling Brian how I was excited when he mentioned about watching the New Japan pay-per-view, you as well. And Brian's like, yeah, Dave's gonna watch it too, and I was like, oh my god, that would have been awesome. Unfortunately, the stream wasn't working, Yeah, I mean, like I said, I could, man, just picking Dave's brain and just talking. We were talking a little bit at the dinner, and I could talk wrestling all day. I know I say it all the time, but I could. So
and Dave pretty much can. It's like the thing with Dave is you don't even bother trying to like ask how he's doing, how his family's doing. Just go straight to wrestling, and he will be more than happy to engage you, you know, the whole time. I mean, Dave's interesting. And did you get to talk to Nigel or Evan?
Yeah, I saw I saw Evan and Nigel at Dick's after the UFC show and talked briefly there. And talked to Nigel a little bit on Friday, and Nigel was at the Wrestling Care show. You know, he has a hand in helping out with those. So, you know, worked for him on just the previous Saturday. So for him and Wes and for David. So I was there. I was surprised when he just walked into the suite. I was like, that guy in the cowboy hat looks like Nigel. I'm like, oh, it is. I'm like, hey, Nigel.
That's I guess I come inside from the balcony. I went to the bar. I get a drink, and I just turn around and start walking. And the guy who helped me get the suite, he's like, dude, are you seriously going to walk by Nigel McGuinness? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Nigel McGuinness is in, oh, my God, it's Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah. He came in. We said hello and talked for a little bit. And then I went up to get a drink. You know, I went up to go get a drink at the bar, and because that's where he was. I think he was talking with Dave and some others. And then he was gone. He left. I don't know. Maybe there a half hour or so. I don't know. But
actually, he was there for quite a bit.
Was he there longer?
Yeah, I think he was there because he talked to Dave for like just half an hour.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it was a lot going on and a lot of drinking going on. It was all a good time. And I know we need to start to wrap up with you, but I have one more question because something I kind of brought up to you. I sent Brian Alvarez an email. He hasn't responded to me, but he hardly ever does. He's kind of a jerk sometimes. But anyway, you guys.
Hey, come on, man. Come on.
Don't make
it all as possible.
Well, actually, I made the whole trip happen. But
no,
anyway. I'll stop burying Brian. But anyway, you and Brian talked about having a match between the Heartbreakers against Brian and Vinny, and there's just you guys talked about doing a match, but not like where. And I think I kind of got an idea where we should do something like they did a few years ago with the Battle, and this year we could maybe do some kind of a Kickstarter to maybe like help pay for everything. And basically, we have the Heartbreakers versus Brian and Vinny in Vegas at the convention. Maybe even bring in Lance Storm to have a match, because Lance told me the only way he'd make Vegas is if we book them. So it's a perfect opportunity to book them. And maybe we put like something together, and maybe even, you know, put our own little Wrestling Observer show on in Vegas. Because I know there's a promotion there. You know, I mean, I'm sure we could like rent the ring or rent wherever they do their shows or whatever, and have like a thing there. Because a lot of times people from the convention, it's more of an MMA thing. Like it's more MMA fans because it's centered around UFC. But if we actually have like a wrestling show, I mean, I think more people would even be asked to come, and we'd break the 100 that we've been trying to get for the past few years. And I'm hoping we can convince Brian and everyone and give it a shot. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, if you don't hit your goal on Kickstarter, the money just goes back to the people who gave. So I mean, no one would lose anything. So I'm kind of hoping that would come together, and how would you like that to happen?
I would love for the whole thing to happen. I think it's a great idea when you brought it up, especially if Lance can be there, you know, and maybe get a couple other workers, have like a little mini card. One thing though, I'm very leery. A lot of quote unquote workers will start Kickstarter things for the wrong reasons. And, you know, I like it when Kickstarter stuff go for a good cause and go to help out, you know, not just someone, hey, buy, you know, I need new gear. Let me start a Kickstarter. You know, I need to pay, you know. So, you know, whether it be through Kickstarter or if there was something where people, you know, everybody wanted to chip in a little to make this happen, you know, I'd be all for that. And even if there was a Kickstarter thing and where we could have any extra money or have
a certain amount of money go towards, you know, a good cause of maybe, you know, if someone needs to add medical bills that belong, you know, that a convention or website regular that maybe has, you know, a health issue or some medical bills or something. And, you know, I would be all for that, you know, helping, having it help somebody, you know, while getting us all together to do it in the process. So if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean,
no, Buddy Wayne.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Buddy Wayne's been talking about having his out-of-retirement show and invited myself and even Brutal Bob and a bunch of guys down. Maybe we can have a semi-main event for that evening.
Yeah, and Brian said he would have Brutal Bob in their corner, and we would have Granny in our corner. And so we would build the match around, you know, maybe a spot where Brutal Bob interferes and Granny spears Brutal Bob. So
that'd be awesome. I kind of was thinking maybe we could have Lance and Brutal Bob do an Iron Man, but then I don't want to do that to Lance.
No.
Come on, no bearing here.
I can't help.
Have a Tim Hortons coffee break in the middle at the 30-minute mark.
Yes, they would have a Tim Hortons versus Dunkin' Donuts, some kind of match or whatever. I don't know.
Cool. Well, Antonio, you've been with us for quite a while. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you've been busy. I know you've been taking. It seems like you've been taking a lot of bookings as far as not just wrestling, but also audio shows. And you probably set a record this week for most internet interviews.
Yeah, people, I got great feedback after, you know, the Brian show, and now people are going to be like, you know, being on with Alan. Yeah, people are going to be, you know, clowns overexposed, he's washed up, who is he, blah, blah, blah. So now I'm going to be the most hated man, right?
Yeah.
Well, for being on this show, that might just happen. But Antonio, please feel free to plug anything you want to plug at all right now.
Absolutely.
You can reach me on Twitter at PromiseThomas. You know,
brand new page.
Only been on there a year. What's that?
Yeah, a brand new page. You've been on there maybe 2 weeks tops.
Yeah, newer to Twitter, only started last year, got on the, you know, a little late. So, you know, if you like, I'm not one of those people that says, hey, you got to follow me or whatever. But if you want, you know, my bizarre takes on, you know, wrestling, sports, especially fantasy sports, I'm a big fan of, and Major League Baseball, watching the Red Sox and Yankees right now. But if you want my takes on those things and MMA and you know, my love for Ronda Rousey, then follow me at Promise Thomas. Got some Wrestling is Art shows coming up. Check out WrestlingIsArt.com and Wrestling Cares as well, August 17th in L.A. Anyone that's going out to SummerSlam, if you are in the area, come by. Wrestling Cares. Look it up online. Check out the card. Amazing talent. The best indie talent from all the best promotions. And they also got Matt Hardy. They got Candice Michelle as the host, the hostess of the show. So something, a little bit of something for everyone. And that will be the show. As good as SummerSlam will probably be, that will be the show that you will be talking about after the weekend if you go to it. So
cool.
That is it, man. I want to thank you guys. Good to be on, man.
Yeah.
No problem, man. It's actually, we're really glad you were able to take the time to be on the show. I know Friday nights aren't usually the best time for indie wrestlers, but really appreciate you taking the time. And it was great meeting you in Vegas. And like I say, hopefully we'll see you for sure next year, and hopefully we can work something out as far as maybe like the show, And
yeah, man, let's make this. Hey, let's make it happen, man. Let's make it happen. Let's do it for a good cause as well. And why not? Right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Why not Bob? Why not Vegas in 2014? So
nice.
Awesome. We gotta get Bob there too, man. I love Bob. So we made up, we buried the hatchet at a romantic dinner in Missouri, Mexican dinner. Don't tell my girlfriend, don't tell his wife, but
right.
Yeah, we've been cool ever since, so
yeah. Well, I give Bob a hard time, but we love Bob. He's been on the show a bunch of times.
He's such a great guy. What a hustler. He's such a hustler. I love that dude.
That's Rip Rogers.
Yeah, yeah. No. Bob is a hustler. Bob will go into a Kmart, spend $10, and walk out and sell it for $11.
He's got his flea market thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Love that cat.
Cool, man. Well, Antonio, like I say, appreciate it. And you have a good night, and we wish you the best, of course.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rip. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank
yeah.
you.
There you go.
That's good energy. You missed all the fun, Craig. You could have hung out with Antonio. You could have hung out with Nigel and Evan, but you know you have this perversion about going to Vegas.
It's not a perversion.
Next year, if we have this show, you have to come because you have to be somebody's heavy or something.
Oh Lord! If there's a wrestling event, I will definitely come. I don't. If I want to go hang out with a bunch of drunks, there's a bar, four blocks down.
Not everybody there drinks. I mean, I tell you, there's a circle around Dave Meltzer that's usually fit in perfectly.
Yeah, I don't like that circle either, though.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I gotta ask you. You said you had the pay per view party at your house. How come you didn't invite the newly returned to Seattle Supersonics to your party?
Here, I knew this was gonna come up. So a couple of Supersonic is a is this young lad that we met a few years ago on one of the WrestleMania weekends. He's an interesting cat. He's got an interesting view on life, and he is very opinionated about wrestling. And he doesn't have any problem sharing his opinions with everybody or anybody, even if you don't ask for it. I'll just leave it at that. And he's a little grating at times. So he moves from San Antonio up to Seattle just probably like 3 weeks ago, and he does this email blast where, hey, I'm having a pay-per-view party at my house. Come one, come all. And he invited myself and Vince and Brian and Wes, and I think Whitney was on that invite as well. And Brian was leaving for Oregon. And myself, I was waiting to see if I was going to Brian's or if we were going to Vince's or we're just going to end up here. And I said, well, hey, you want to extend an olive branch and let's all go out to Sonic's place. And Brian said, no, I need to get a jump on the trip to the ocean. I would rather watch it at your place. And then go from there. And then Vince said, I don't want to leave North Bend, which is probably 45 minutes from here. And it ended up at the very last minute, we'll go to Sonic's some other time. Let's go to your house, Craig. And I said, that's fine. So if Sonic hears this, I apologize. Everything was booked at the last minute and didn't mean to blow the kid off. But that's what happened.
That's a great excuse.
Well, I have this problem where I don't like to hurt people's feelings, no matter how I feel about them. Like, I found myself having a conversation with Brent on Vince's wedding the other day, just on Facebook, because Vince won't invite Brent to his wedding. he's just not.
Okay,
and I said, Vince, you're going to, hurt his, I don't care. He said, I don't care. He's not coming to my wedding. He's not booking my bachelor party. You are to say nothing to him. And I said, okay, well, the next thing you know, I'm into a 3-page conversation with Brent about why does Vinny hate me? I just feel sorry for him. You know, I guess I'm too compassionate with people sometimes, and even if they are annoying or whatever, I kind of look past.
I don't like hurting nobody's feelings.
Exactly. I don't care who they are. I just don't like hurting people's feelings. I wish I could be that guy that could tell a guy to F off when he annoys me, but I just can't. And that's just not me.
Why doesn't Vince kill him?
Yeah. I'm
sure Vince has told him plenty of times.
It doesn't matter. I'm gonna see both those cats in probably 3 weeks when we go down to the Tulalip Casino for Super China Buffet Day. So hopefully they'll sit by each other, because this is a thing that I need to see.
You're gonna instigate, make sure the only open seats next to Vinny when Brent gets.
Brent, have you met my friend Sonic?
Speaking of Vinny, I gotta tell the story from the suite. Toward the end of the night, you know, Bridget is so sweet. Bridget is like, she started like asking me 20 questions whether the suite was paid for by the donation. And I think she had it in her head that it wasn't. And we're talking about, I was like, no, we made the thing. I go, believe it or not, Brian actually made the biggest donation. And then he kind of like paused and looked at me, and like, I guess, I don't know if he asked me or if I just kind of told him what it was, but I'm not going to say here. And then he just kind of shrugged his head, and I hate when he does nice things. So he hands me some money here, Ed. This is for everything in the suite. But it was just like, the way he said it was like, he couldn't believe Brian actually did something nice first.
I'm still waiting for that day when the pay-per-view's over and everybody's leaving my house and, hey, thanks Craig, here's a handshake and here's a $10 bill. I've known Brian for 15 years and that has never happened to me.
What you got to do is send an email yelling at him, so where he gets so pissed off he'll cut a promo on you, and then he'll feel so bad when he goes to the pay-per-view that he'll give you some money. Work for me.
Oh, Lord.
But anyway, you guys missed a good time. You guys need to go out there one of these times.
I'll say it again. That's just not my scene. But, one of these days. If anything was going to, it would have been that show. But it's all good.
Dallas is going to be it for WrestleMania here next week or so. I'm hoping that'll come in here, next couple of years.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it being Dallas, then Cisco, or Cisco, then Dallas, because Cisco seems like a cool place to go. Like, you know, they got the beach and everything. I mean, you know, as long as you don't have to stay in the gay area, I think everything will be fine with that. And Dallas, I could just drive to Dallas. You know what I mean? And have my vehicle the whole time, so, you know, I don't have to worry about cabs or this or that or, you know. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I could bring a whole bunch of weed with me when I go to Dallas. That'd be awesome. I wonder if they have Mania in Cisco. If I get there on a Friday, if I could get a medical marijuana car by that afternoon, you know. And just use it for like the next 4 nights and then have to give it up.
Don't think.
Why would it make a difference? You're going to smoke anyway.
That's true.
Because I don't know where to get weed in San Francisco right now. You know what I mean? I have to find a board member on the down low who might be willing to hook me up. But, you know, if I had a medical marijuana card, I'd just walk in and get a bill. Hey, give me some Blue Dream or give me some of that and, you know, enjoy. But, yeah. But we got 10 minutes, so is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we go? Just starting with Craig.
Actually, Yeah, and on a total serious note today, I took the day off of work because, and I hate to be a downer, but my grandfather, Paul Prober, passed away about 3 weeks ago. And he had been battling Alzheimer's for about three and a half years. And ended up saying goodbye to him about, like I said, 3 years ago, because there was no communication with him. But we put him in the ground today. And I just wanted to not only say a few words about him, but anyway, my grandfather, right out of high school, joined the Navy, and he was a submariner in World War II and also the Korean War, and he was a gunner on a submarine. And after serving our country on a submarine for 8 years, he got out and joined the Army and retired as a sergeant major, and worked on the base here at Joint Base Lewis-McChord until the day he retired, and he passed away a few weeks ago. And I don't want to get all mushy and sappy and cry and things like that, but I just want to say, if you listen to the show and you serve our country, I just want to say thank you. It's because of men and women like you that serve our country that our big mouth host here can rattle off everything he wants to say, and me too. And I've had a lot of heroes that I've watched over the years in wrestling, and not a one of them compares to the sacrifice that you give for this country, and I just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
My grandmother had Alzheimer's. That's the worst.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
You know, speaking of servicemen, you remember the guy who sent the flag to the Christmas show, Craig?
Yeah. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, we met him in Vegas. He came down,
yeah.
And it was not what I was expecting. I was expecting this, like, grizzled-looking guy, veteran, you know, many tours, and this
sure.
guy was, like, really, he was, like, really good young,
moment.
Good-looking guy. I think Granny has a crush on him. What?
He actually sent the picture with the flags when they opened those up on Christmas, and just normal dude, man. That's it's normal men and women that give a sacrifice. That now they sacrifice everything, their families, they sacrifice in some cases their lives and put everything on hold just to serve. And again, thanks.
I will show my appreciation by playing Call of Duty.
Hmm. We all need to do our own thing.
Yes.
There was a lot of Call of Duty being played in Vegas also. Barb brought her son again and brought his Xbox so he'd be entertained in case he got bored, you know. So basically he was there playing Call of Duty Zombies against like all these different drunk guys. Like, He destroyed Vinny. He crushed Vinny. He crushed a bunch of other guys. This one guy, Derek Darby, was so determined to try and beat him but couldn't, and he had been drinking, and the next thing you know, he passed out on the bed, and we had to get him off the bed. Luckily, we didn't have to, like, totally carry him, but, yeah. He was a casualty of the Call of Duty in Vegas. But, yeah. But, Contreras, is there anything you wanted to talk about?
I thought on Monday it was totally unprofessional how Brock beat that fan up.
He looked tiny next to him, that's for damn sure. He was throwing them around
I'm
like
really
nothing.
Intrigued by how they're going to work this match, because I have a hard time believing Punk can be, like, you know, can do anything to Brock Lesnar?
The match is going to be like that segment. Brock is going to kill him for a few minutes. Punk's going to get fired up and fight back for 30 seconds, and then Brock's going to kill him for a few minutes, and then he'll fire back, and it's going to rinse and repeat, but I'm sure it'll get over and be badass. And
yeah.
And he feels awesome when he was just, the way he just, he threw him around like he was freaking nothing.
Oh, we hadn't talked about this, but since it happened, but what do y'all think about the Wyatt family's debuts?
Well, we kind of touched on them a little bit.
I think Wyatt is awesome. I think Brody Lee is awesome. I think the other guy looks kind of scary, but that dude needs a lot of work. And that dude, I mean, because it's Brody Lee's doing everything. And the guy's just trying to kick, but he can't because he doesn't have the timing down. He really looks his experience level. I mean, Brody Lee's been around for a while. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to play the big man. And this guy, he hopefully they'll put him on the road with a good tag team or something, because he needs to work. But as far as everything else, I think everything else has been pretty good.
With the gimmick and the way those guys look, I mean, I don't expect him to be that refined of a wrestler. just kind of like some redneck out of the woods, just come stomping and kicking somebody. I think Bray Wyatt's phenomenal in his role.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
They have cool music.
They do. I thought just a couple of nitpicks. They shouldn't have put him in the ring with one of the monsters to begin with. If they would have had him attacking somebody, a smaller man, it would have enhanced how huge those two are. So like I said, that's a nitpick. I thought the spot where they actually picked up the steps and hit Kane with them looked so hokey. I thought it looked good,
and it was totally safe, but I didn't think it looked that bad.
I thought it looked hokey.
Some spots like that, they're so safe that it's the point where it looks silly. Remember like the years that I think it was Wade Barrett and John Cena, and he put some kind of car over Wade Barrett and then dumped the chair from like the ceiling on Wade Barrett.
Yes.
It was like a totally safe bump, but just looked totally stupid.
Yes.
Something like that.
The way that they were built up as these bumpkins from the swamps and whatnot, aside from them doing an angle where they actually, you know, like crucified Kane all of the Sandman, or if they would have strung up a man and cut his throat all of Jay Briscoe in ROH, that angle that they did where he was bleeding profusely and they strung him up, and then Jimmy Jacobs laid under him in a white suit as the blood was pouring from his head.
Raw.
Exactly. Exactly. So you got to remember, you're watching a PG show. But as I did state as we were on the phone with Antonio, I just think a little bit of color in that match, or that run-in at the end, and you would have left Kane in a pool of his own blood, I think it would have upped their credibility and their ambiance even more so.
I can totally like see Kane joining this group, because this is the kind of shit they would do with Kane.
Sure. And I know that the ROH has re-signed Mark Briscoe, but haven't said anything about Jay yet. I would imagine he's going to end up back in ROH, but just to be honest, he's the more talented of the two Briscoes. I could see him in this little crew as well. Just a long shot.
Now, did they say they signed Mark, or is he just in the tournament?
That's a great point, actually. I don't know. But he is in the tournament, so make of that what you will.
Maybe he's going to win the tournament, and then Jay comes back, and they do, because he has to get his title back, but his brother has it, or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know?
That'd be a great story if they're not actually leaving. We'll see what happens. I mean, they'll be doing all right either way, you know. ROH actually seems to have a little. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows at AngryMarks.com. And you can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Betrayer and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
Go to youtube.com/Cotrer for all your classic wrestling needs. And also put up one of the all-time great movies, one that's a classic, Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth.
Oh, nice. And myself, I am on Twitter, and you can check me out at Proper Jam, thepropperjam.com. And, yeah, that's about it from here. If you're in the Chicago area and you're checking out Pearl Jam, playing at Wrigley Field as we speak, I envy you.
Nobody cares about Pearl Jam.
Well, you know where they are all the time, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
You got a calendar or something, don't you?
Pearl Jam to Craig is like Cracker Barrel to Landstorm. You know, for every single Cracker Barrel, it is just like Craig knows where everywhere that Pearl Jam is playing.
Well, they're in Chicago and they're playing Wrigley Field where the Cubs play. It's a huge, huge venue. And
do you know what Eddie Vedder had for breakfast this morning?
What's
his favorite meal?
I have no idea.
Okay. What fan you are.
I
bet Max Harry knows.
No, he doesn't. We've been texting each other because here's how much of a dork I am. I'll admit this right now. If you go to something called www.earthcam.com, if you go there right now, there are different cameras on major buildings, major sites all over the world. And one of them happens to be on the entrance of Wrigley Field. Well, you can actually hear Pearl Jam playing live right now in the background. In fact, there's a rain delay right now because it started to rain in Chicago. So I've actually been listening to Pearl Jam from a video camera across the street pointing at Wrigley Field because this is how big of a thing it is.
See, he even knows the weather forecast over these concerts. That's weird.
I'm a little hardcore. I am seeing them November, December. I'm going down to Portland the day after Thanksgiving, probably over to Spokane the next day, and then up to Vancouver the following Wednesday, and then back down in Seattle on December 6th. So I'm very excited about the show's coming up.
And just rename me Mark David Chapman or something.
Yes, without the murderous tendencies.
Yeah. Well, I hope not. But,
yeah.
Anything else before I play the theme music here?
No. It's
good to be back, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, I've actually been very diligent about contacting people to do our show. So,
cool. I've actually been working on a couple of people myself.
Good.
I haven't done anything.
Yeah, you should.
Good to know. Good to know.
My job is to show up and talk and leave.
Right.
And I just want to say I'm sorry that you guys missed my show with Dave Meltzer. That was our highest downloaded show of all time, and it's too bad you guys weren't there to be part of history. Other than that,
I didn't even go back and listen to it because I was so pissed off didn't be on there.
Well, I'm sure it was awful. There's nothing better. I mean, you know how we have guests that are make our job easy.
Yeah.
Interviewing Dave Meltzer is the easiest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to have 90 minutes with Dave just talking, you know, pro wrestling.
Yeah, it was great. So if you haven't heard that show, go back and check it out because it was great. And we will see everybody next week. If we have a guest, we'll let you know. If not, it'll just be the three of us talking about useless wrestling bullshit, which everyone seems to enjoy. So we'll see everybody next week.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the mansion shit! Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.